book of Acts tells us about the very first Christians. They got filled with God's Spirit and were devoted. Devoted in prayer, devoted to one another, and devoted to God in baptism. Because of their passion, there was a chain reaction across the globe. Thousands, then millions, then billions of people met Jesus the King. But what about now? Are we devoted like that? Or have we become apathetic? Do we care like they did? Pray like they did? Love like they did? Do we sacrifice like they did? First Christians were devoted. What would happen if we were devoted too?
Tonight is a celebration of people that are eternally loved and eternally wanted. If you're not used to church, maybe you come here for the first time, maybe you've been a few times, you've been kind of circling around us, a little bit on the outside looking in. But if you've never experienced baptism before, or if the only time you've experienced baptism is seeing little babies in nice frocks being dribbled over a font, and you wonder, what is this? What kind of strange thing? Is this some kind of weird offshoot of Christianity? Is this some kind of American thing? Is it a cult? Is it some kind of weird thing? Listen, what baptism is about is quite simply this. It's a declaration. It's a declaration. Declarations can be the most powerful things that you can do. One of the most famous declarations, and we all know it, took place on July the 4th, 1776, in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and it was the Declaration of Independence. And in the Declaration of Independence, they said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And when these founding fathers got together, they made a declaration. It had a ripple effect across the whole of the world and the whole of history. That handwritten note was passed to a printing shop a few blocks down. Overnight, they stayed open, cranking out 200 copies. The 200 copies were distributed across the whole 13 states of America. Within a few days, George Washington was reading this declaration to massed troops, American troops, in the New York harbor, while thousands of dastardly English soldiers were there on board the ships in the harbor. And before you knew it, the British officials had sent that declaration back home to England, and it was read aloud and published across the United Kingdom. And it found its way to France, to Italy, to Switzerland, to Poland, to Germany. It found its way to Latin America, where it was banned, it was outlawed, and yet somehow people made this declaration. And not only did it change the course of history for the United States, but it led to other declarations. It led to the slavery being repealed when people said, "But you said all men are created equal." It led to the suffragettes and the women's rights movement taking this on board and saying, "We want equal rights. We're created equal too." A declaration can change the world. And what baptism is, it's a declaration even more life-changing, world-shattering than the Declaration of Independence. Because when we get baptized, when a person enters the waters and they go down and they come back up again, they are making a profound declaration, one of the most important declarations that they will ever make. And it's not a declaration of independence, it's a declaration of dependence. It's saying, "I'm dependent on Jesus." It's saying that when I go down into the water, it's like my old life is dead and buried. You don't bury me under soil, under 6 feet of earth, but you bury me in the waters of baptism, because that's me saying my old way of life, my old way of living, old priorities, old vision, old habits, old allegiances, old values, they die. They're ended because I've got so far on my own and it didn't lead to where I wanted it to lead. I've tried being independent, but now I believe that the best way that I can live my life is to be dependent on Jesus. And we see baptism actually happening in the pages of Scripture with the early believers. And we spent the last 2 weeks looking at the genesis, the outpouring of this early church, how the early church started. And baptism wasn't something that was massively done. It wasn't like a religious rite that everyone knew about. Baptism, it was something a little bit like ceremonial washing that sometimes Jewish people would do. but they would do it not as a one-off, but as a kind of constant thing to remind them of their vows towards God. But when John the Baptist came and announced Jesus, he baptized people as a symbol of them being forgiven for their sins. And that's it. It doesn't appear anymore. And then something unusual happens. Jesus gathers this band of followers. He proclaims a message, but it's not just any message. It's not just about being good. It's about believing in him. He says, I am God come to live amongst you because God loves you. God loves you. You're eternally loved, eternally wanted. God in a body living with us. And he's crucified. He's actually crucified in one of the major festivals in the Jewish people's history. They had three major festivals in those days, and all natural-born Jewish males were required to go to the capital city, Jerusalem. So this was the Passover festival, the Passover feast, when he's crucified, and that's it, that's the end. Jesus has said, I have this new life, this new kingdom, new way of living, and the authorities stamp him down dead. His followers scatter. They're terrified. They run for their lives. And then on the third day, he appears in front of them. And at first, they don't believe it. But then he convinces them with incredible evidence that it really is him. He has broken through death. It changes everything. And then suddenly, baptism happens. It happens 7 weeks, give or take, 50 days. It happens 7 weeks after the events of that crucifixion and the resurrection. 7 weeks later, in the very same city of Jerusalem, not a million miles away in the desert with a bunch of people saying, oh, this happened hundreds of miles ago, a long, long time ago. No, in the very city where Jesus was crucified, his followers, once disbanded, once demoralized, they regroup and they go onto the streets and they speak with incredible boldness and they tell everybody, Jesus is alive. Christianity, it's not a set of teaching. It's not an ethic for life. It's not a nice philosophy that you can adopt. I mean, it has all those things within it, but fundamentally, Christianity is good news that God came to earth, lived a perfect life, and rose again from the dead. It's totally based on a historical event that happened that convinced people that didn't believe in resurrection, convinced people that didn't believe a man could come back from the dead. When you're dead, you stay dead, which is why they went back to their fishing and they went back to their homes and they went back to their lives and they're turned around. And so they begin to proclaim. And the Bible says this, the passage we've been reading. It says that Peter preached and he said, those who accepted his message were baptized. Everyone say baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So the baptism for them was a declaration of dependence. Basically, people were saying, were convinced that Jesus is who he said he is. Not just a good moral teacher, not just someone with a very fantastic set of principles for living, but the God of the universe. That we are eternally loved, eternally wanted. He's entered into our world. He has taken death itself upon himself and he has beaten death. And so we depend on him. Do you know what? If it's true, it's the most logical thing to do. If God really does know you, that gives you incredible dignity right off the bat. If you've been made in his image, which is what the Bible says, it's the good news. And if he loves you and he's come and entered our world and shown us how to live and beaten the power of death itself, then you go with that guy. You depend on that guy. If he says, believe in me and you will have life, then baptism is a declaration of dependence. Saying, yes, my old life is dead and buried and I'm living a new life to Jesus, but not just in this life. One day I will be risen again with Jesus. And I know it because he came back from the dead. So it's a declaration of dependence. The second thing that it is, it's a declaration of devotion. The Bible says this in the Acts passage we've been reading. It says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And if you were here last week and you heard Kate talk about the squirrels and the birds and how she was a Disney princess, and yeah, she really is like that. I live with her. I know that these things are true. All the animals of the world come and nestle in her lap. She is beloved by nature. But she talked about that word devoted. And she said it wasn't a fluffy bunny, wishy-washy, sentimental word. Devoted was a hard-edged, gritty, I am giving myself, committing myself, picking myself up when I fail and going back again and again and again. I'm pushing into this. And when you get baptized, you're declaring that you're devoting yourself to the teaching and the way of Christ. But you're saying, I am starting. You're not saying, I've arrived, check me out, I am here. Be in awe at my incredible spirituality. You're not saying that. You're saying, I'm starting. I'm like a baby being born anew. But I'm devoting myself and I'm committing myself and I'm going to go for this. These guys, when they go down, and what we do is we put them in the water, we bring them up. Before we do that, we ask them two questions. First of all, do you believe? Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that he is who he says he is, that he's revealed himself in Jesus? Do you believe and trust your life to him? And then we say, do you commit yourself to following him, not going your own way, but now serving him, following him as he gives you strength? And they say yes, they say yes, they say yes. And then we put them in as a declaration of devotion, saying, I am starting this. And they are saying, I'm a beginner. I'm a learner. I am starting this thing. Don't expect me to be all together. Don't expect me to be the perfect Christian. Don't expect me to have all the answers. Expect me to be someone that is starting, but I'm devoting myself to this. And I will do it as God gives me help. And then finally, it's this. It's a declaration of discipleship. Because this is the thing. Where does baptism come from? I'll tell you. Baptism comes from Jesus himself. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said, now who's the man? And because I am the man, because I am the daddy, because I am the guy, I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. So right now, from this moment on, if you want to follow me, if you want to be one of mine in my family, if you want to commit yourself to me, I want you to shout it out to the world. I want you to tell everybody. I want you to get baptized. And I want you to go and baptize people as soon as they know enough to commit themselves to Jesus. And it was his command. So Jesus, when he's with the disciples, he's risen from the dead. The Bible says that he gathers them together. The end of Matthew records this. It's an amazing thing. Read the Bible. Read the book of Matthew. Matthew 28. He says this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Everyone read that with me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Which when translated means, I am the man. I am the guy. I am quite literally all it. I am the one. I have authority. I am the final authority. I am the final arbiter. I am truth itself. Some of you, you're looking. You've been looking for things to make your life make sense. And Jesus says, I'm the one that you're looking for. I'm the one that holds reality in the palm of my hand. I'm the one that spread the heavens and the earth, the cosmos out like a man spreads out a tablecloth. I am the one that sustains your very breath. I'm the one that holds the atoms together. I'm the one that exploded the Big Bang and that keeps a check on dark energy. I am the one who encapsulates all of reality. It's all found in me. It says, because I have all authority, I have all authority. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of everyone that you find. Go and make disciples wherever you find people of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, if you're a disciple, if you're a follower of me, if you're someone that has been convinced that you can commit your life to me, your job, your one job, is to go and to make other people disciples. And when you do that, you baptize them. Anybody who wants to follow Jesus, Jesus says, I want you to be baptized. He talks about baptism, and he talks about remembering his sacrifice with the Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist, whatever you like to call it. But those two things are the only things. Jesus is not big into rituals, not big into rules and regulations. Just two things that show the world what we're like. He says, I want you to be baptized. Why? Because it's a declaration. Declaration. I'm a disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. No longer living for myself, but trusting myself to Jesus. And so the bottom line is we get baptized because that's what Jesus told us to be. And anybody here who finds Jesus, the next thing that they need to do is to find a time to get baptized. We would love to baptize you. In fact, we've got some of these books here that just explain what baptism is all about. If you'd like to get one of those, you can just find me or find one of the team. We would love to baptize you. The next baptism that we're going to do is going to be next February, and we're going to baptize people. And that's what Alistair and Laura are doing. They're saying, I want to be a disciple. I don't have all the answers, and I do still have doubts, but I want to be a disciple. And that's what these early believers did. It says this. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's normal for people to be added into the community of Jesus Christ. And it's normal that when people be part of this community, that they're in and out of each other's pockets, that they're loving one another. I loved what Laura said. She said, I can phone or text people anytime, day or night. And that is what it's all about. I mean, I keep my phone just do not disturb over the night, so it's not going to be that onerous for me. But I love the idea that we're a community, that we love one another, we stick together, we're not all the same, that there's room for everybody, there's room for you. And it's normal to go into the world because this is what Jesus told us to do. So as Metro, all we want to do, tell people about Jesus. All we want to do, welcome people in. All we want to do, go to where he sends us. Go to our workplace, go to our flatmate, go to our colleagues, go to our family, go to the gym, go on holiday. Tell people wherever we find them. There is a God in heaven who came down to earth, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross for your sin out of sheer love for you, rose from the dead. He's alive. He proved it all. You can believe everything he said because he proved it all. Now, we're going to baptize the guys in just a minute. Before we do that, I'm going to pray. But before I pray, I want to show you one thing because next week is our Metro Carols. And I want to ask you, I want to invite you. No, I want to challenge you. Now, if you're a guest here, if you are just, you know, you've come along and you're thinking, why is a shouty man talking to me like this? You can relax. You're exempt from this. But if you're part of the Metro community, then here's the challenge. Here's the invitation. I want you to take the flyers. Now, we have got hundreds of these flyers. We've got a box, and after today, well, certainly after next Sunday, they're useless to us. And so what I want you to do is I want you to you can take hundreds if you want. Take as many as you can. You could take 20, you could take 50, you could take a handful. But I want you to take these flyers, and I want you to invite as many people as you can. Because, like I said last week, a lot of the time when you invite your friends, they're not going to come to church because they will find a reason, because maybe they've been bitten by religion. Maybe they had a bad experience. Maybe they've got a whole bunch of preconceptions. Maybe they think it's unscientific, unrational. Maybe they've got all this baggage. But at Christmas, they will come. Around about 37% of people in the UK will go to church in a Christian context over Christmas for a carol service. We would love to invite them to come here. Share with us next week. Now, what happened as I was talking to you, I was really just stalling for time because what was happening is that online was being uploaded a video. It's right now live. It went live in the last 3 minutes. And we're going to show it to you. I'm going to show you the website that we've got, but it's also on Facebook. And what I want you to do is I want you to share this out on Facebook. Now, quick question. Here's a question for everybody. Answer me. We had a debate earlier as a team about Facebook and Facebook-sponsored posts. So when you're on Facebook, you can sponsor a post. So you can sponsor a post saying, look at our video. Look at our video of our carol service, and it will be sent to all the people in that particular demographic, and they will see it. Here's the question. One person says to me, Philip, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't sponsor posts because it looks fake and phony. And the other person says, oh, you should do it because it will get to people who don't know otherwise. Now, tell me, I want you to show of hands, who thinks it's better if we don't advertise or don't sponsor posts, don't pay Facebook to put them on people's feeds? Who thinks we shouldn't advertise? Put your hands up. Okay, only a few. Who thinks we should advertise? It's a good idea? Okay. Looks kind of 50-50. Who didn't put their hands up? Put your hands up if you say, I never put my hand up. I refuse to put my hand up because that's like, you know, back in school. Okay, we'll think about it, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and share this thing like crazy. I want you to share it to all your friends. I want you to tag their names in. I want this to get thousands of views that we have done because people are excited about sharing the good news of Jesus. And this is our best shot. So this is the website. It's metrocarols.com. Go to metrocarols.com. It will take you to our website. And it looks like this. So let's get the website up. Okay, so it's like that. You can scroll along the page and you'll see there's the video with Laura is there in the middle. There's some pictures, the gallery that you can open. So if we go back just to the video. Okay, so there's the video with our Metro Hype girls. We're going to show you the video. It's 45 seconds long. We'll watch the video. Massive whoop cheer, lose your mind, lose your damn fool mind. And then we're going to come back, pray, and then we'll do the actual baptisms that you've all come here for. But let's roll the video.